This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
Exactly what we need is another $400 spaceship. That should be pretty fucking sweet.
I keep saying that we're not Star Wars toy collectors, but then every HasLab, I'm like, maybe. The Razor Crest was incredible. If the rumors of the ghost are real, I'm going to do it. I have to. It's the ghost.
If they do it the way it should be done, and the way I assume they would do it based on how truly big some of the HasLabs have been, I'm semi-familiar with the ghost. I've gotten a little bit of the way through Rebels, and then I fall off and have to restart. But I'm always into like smaller vehicle that breaks out of bigger vehicle.
So the Phantom coming off the back of the ghost the Phantom 2 is perfect for you.
Yes. That play patterned ruled my life as a kid, as I talked about chasing the Skysweeper jet that I never got until I was an adult from the G.I. Joe franchise.
And then talked me into getting a couple.
Yeah, they're incredible. But yeah, I mean, if the rumors are true that the next HasLab for Star Wars is a Vintage Collection Ghost, that will be incredible, because that means we will obviously be getting the crew, which I know is like a big deal for you. I mean, obviously, if I'm buying the ghost, I'm going to buy the crew.
Yeah, I would absolutely. I mean, I have the crew in 6-inch because they came out a few years ago. If they put the crew out in 4-inch and a ghost, yeah, of course.
Because I have the Phantom 2 from whatever toy line when the show was airing, and it's like a fun little vehicle, but I'm assuming there would be a new one because it would have to be perfectly interactable with the ghost.
I kind of hope the rumors are not true so it can save me the time and effort. And I hope the rumors are true, because that would be tasty.
Whatever the rumors may or may not be, that doesn't matter. What we do know is that it will be announced and launched at SDCC. That was confirmed by the Hasbro crew. So if you think about that, that's in July, I think.
What that means is we can at least get through Joe Fest without getting pummeled right in the wallet.
And then also you figure it'll probably have 30 to 45 days, you know, after it's announced. So we're looking at least a couple months to like.
Sure.
I mean, the other good news is if we do think it's going to be the ghost and we do prep and we do work for it and then it isn't the ghost, well, then guess what? There's $400 towards a payment of something else. And I'm assuming it would be around 400. I don't know. You know, I think the Razor Crest was like 430, if I remember correctly. So this would actually probably be a little bit bigger. So maybe 500. Oof, I don't know. We got to move on. I don't want to think about this right now.
All right, I'm out. Jesus. Before we get there, I mean, we still have Joe Fest. It's in just a very short handful of weeks, and all of Yojo June. But honestly, I've been taking it a little easy on Joe lately because we're heading into Joe Fest. You know, we've gotten a number of pre-orders in over the last few months. And since the last time you and I talked, I had one of the two Mezco Destros that we ordered. The first one goes straight to play. The second one will go to display.
I got mine in and did not open it yet.
Perfect.
I've kind of been holding off on that sort of stuff until, you know, after Joe Fest, when I can get the drywall up.
Sure.
And get the room rolling again. I have to decide what Mezco stuff I'm keeping. I will 100% be keeping the G.I. Joe stuff no matter what, because that's why I started. And now that I've had the figures and I know the quality, like, I know that those G.I. Joes will be top tier.
I've skipped on the last couple Mezco, Gomez, Rumble Society things, even though I really like that brand, because the construction Gomez I've never opened.
Yeah, I didn't open him. I didn't open the band, the Pink Skull band.
I like Mezco. I encourage, if you want a hot toy quality 6-inch figure, hit up Mezco. The Gomez's are awesome. The Rumble Society's awesome. I've got friends who do the superhero stuff. I mean, there's 1,000 Batmans and Supermans. I hear they're all insane. Now that I have Destro in hand, his case is awesome. The weapon that breaks down and fits in the case, it goes together well and is a lot of fun. And then also the bomb insert for the case with the light-up features, that is really fun. I am not disappointed in Destro. I don't know if he's like waited 2.5 years quality, but he certainly, or I guess 2 years, because we ordered him in March 2021. So I don't know if he's 2 years quality, but he is certainly worth the dollar. I can't wait to see the others finally come in.
I hope there's a little bit of time, because I unfortunately ordered duplicates of all those.
I did too, but I started with Mezco paying up front. I don't think you did that.
I did not. And I actually, what I need to do is I need to call and just talk to a human being and cancel one of each. I tried to email it, but the response I got was cancel it through the website. It's like, well, I don't want to cancel the entire order. I only want to cancel half of the order. So
Big Bad Toy Store was really good about that, where I could go in and I could adjust the quantity on my pre-order.
That has been very helpful with me, like getting in too far and then scaling back and then getting a little too far in with some of the Eagle Force stuff. But hey, we're not talking about that right now.
We can, because they're going to be at Joe Fest.
I am excited to see what they have for 4-inch exclusive. They've been teasing a lot of really, really cool stuff for like the Monster Force 6-inch. That's a huge bummer for me, because when they showed those concepts like years and years ago, when their first Kickstarter went into like limbo era where they were fighting with the factory, and then they had to switch all that stuff. They've had these grand plans for a very long time, and they're pumping out some of these incredible concepts, at least in the 6-inch sector. And like, I'm not buying in on anything else 6-inch. I cannot and I will not. It's too much.
It's not our scale. And it's not a bad scale, it's just not our scale.
Exactly. I just really hope, I'm hoping that some of the success that this Monster Force seemingly has within the 6-inch broader world, like out of our world, I'm hoping that they like use some of that to grow the 4-inch. I can only hope. Today or yesterday, they teased what I think is like the Sasquatch character that uses like a huge machine gun. And that is like a figure I have dreamed about in the 4-inch scale since I saw their rendition or their like art for it.
But it's 6-inch now.
I'm assuming it's 6-inch, yes.
Sure.
It's a safe assumption, you know, like it's one I would be willing to gamble on, because they haven't announced Monster Force, and I don't think they have announced it in the 4-inch scale yet.
Yeah, I would love to see them do another O-ring figure, because I really like the Riot Commando, but that was a weird one-off that they did.
It seemed like it did pretty well. It's like
pretty much
sold out everywhere. I think there might have a few on their website, or maybe they don't. I don't know. But
and I've even looked on eBay, and I'm not really seeing them on eBay. The people that bought them wanted them, kept them. I should have bought 10. We only got 5. They're fantastic. The O-ring revival is certainly in full swing, although in a weird position that there's 4 or 5 companies producing, but no one has anything in hand yet. That's the way of the world, right? Once they start to land, it's going to be pretty wild Christmas, and then we'll see what the appetite for O-ring is and see how many more companies come to bear. But right now, that Riot Commando is the only thing I've seen in hand. At Joe Fest, we're going to see Operation Recall and Callsign Longbow and RoboSkull do panels. We're going to see their booths. Strike Force Alpha will be there. We'll see their booth. I don't know if Hidden Forces is going to be there. I don't know if they're going to do a panel, but I think their Kickstarter is back on.
Yes, it is back on.
So is the After Action Command Files.
That is unpaused.
That took a small pause, yeah.
It's already funded, so unless everybody backs out, which I doubt they will, that's supposed to close on Saturday.
Well, then I guess this is your last minute chance. If you haven't backed it, it's going again. It has crossed the copyright hump, and jump on it. If it's crossed the copyright hump and it's back in business, then you have nothing to fear. Let's go.
They've delivered before.
They deliver quick.
Speaking of quick, I mean, we both got the same emails, but the Dan K books are like supposedly shipping at the end of this week.
I love how excited you are about the Dan K books. I really do look forward to when you've read them and we can talk more about them, whether it be like, you know, the first couple or the whole set.
I've been loving the emails where he shows the sample pages and like you go to the website and there's like some of the teeth.
I never look at those.
I have to. I have nothing else to look at.
And that's why I don't, because I know they're coming. So I just kind of blind myself. And he did that to me at AR, where he had the last two books on his table. And he's like, I know you pre-ordered these. I know you don't look at my Kickstarter emails because you want to be Christmas morning when they show up in the mail. But if you'd like to flip through them, they're right here on the table. And I walked by his table like four or five times, like, I'm not going to look at those. And of course I did.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not?
But I don't often read a lot of Kickstarter emails because I like the surprise. I do read behind the scenes stuff because I like BTS.
We're in a weird hump because we're both prepping for Joe Fest. We're both kind of like easing off on a lot of things. There's great stuff coming. I have not put any thought into what I'm hunting for. I'm literally running like you this year. Like, I don't have literally anything in mind.
You know I don't either. And I'm sure Alexander doesn't either. One of the things that happened at AR back in November was that I pulled a Jason. I pulled a normal me, and I missed the first three-fourths of the customizing class that I signed up for. And AVAX Lab, Kobe, at the end of it, took mine and one other guy's parts because we weren't even there long enough to get partially done. We just had the parts to the hiss and the parts to the customizing. He took them home with him. He's been busy. He's got a real job, real life. He's working on projects with other people in the Joe community. He shipped me the construction hiss. And so that's here now. Alexander's been playing with it. He loves it. AVAX put together a G.I. Joe sticker sheet for the hiss, like a construction company sticker sheet, but A, wanted to leave it Cobra. Maybe at some point we'll paint it or something. Right now it is just modern hiss with yellow construction parts attached and some 3D pieces as well. So I don't know. We'll figure out what we're going to do in the future. But lately we've been spending a lot of our time either painting Warhammer miniatures, or the new Zelda game came out, which I don't think you're playing, but Jaren, Greg, and I are. And all three of us have different opinions and are playing in different ways. But that has been keeping me occupied while I try not to go hard and heavy as we lead up to Joe Fest. And just because of the way life is, I'm walking into Joe Fest on fumes anyway. So what else can I, you know, if I buy a bunch of stuff now, that I'm walking into Joe Fest with nothing, hat in hand.
That hiss looks incredible. That is bright in my wheelhouse of goofy shit. I mean, that's just G.I. Joe to a T for me. Like, of course they would take a hiss tank and throw a scoop on the front of it. There's no weapons on that, right? It's just straight up construction.
It is straight up construction core. You know, I don't know what Kobe does for a living, but he is known for creating construction and utility hiss tanks. He's done a number of them. This was just the first time that he put together a customizing class so that everyone could build. For him, one of the simpler, for all of us, still very complex construction hiss tanks.
That's something I loved when Joe Customs, the website, was super active and I was just lurking. Now everything's on Facebook, so I kind of miss that thing. I love that. I love the repurposing G.I. Joe military, whether it's Cobra or Joe, into like normal functioning equipment. And I mean, that was like a big bummer for me about AR this year. Was like,
I think that speaks to the quality of those old designs, that they were so good. They were so next to real life that they could be repurposed wildly and interestingly without losing any of the flavor and the touch.
We've probably talked about this before, but I'm like 85% certain that the hiss tank is loosely based off of like a real tank that some foreign country had in development that never came to, probably because the shape is insane and is fast. But, you know, let's face it, that thing is, that's a roll hazard. You know, that's like an 80s three-wheeler. I mean, it's like the Vamp, you know, that's was based off what, the Lamborghini?
Yes.
Jaguar or
Cheetah.
Cheetah. Different cat. And when you see like those prototypes of the real vehicle and it's like the same weird shape, but we kind of forget if you look at some of the crazy cars that normal people can't afford that these high-end companies are making, it's like, holy shit, this looks like it's from Blade Runner. It just doesn't fly. And it's funny to think back like in the 80s before social media and before we had access to everything, you know, and some of us weren't really alive. I was born in 89. It's crazy to think what was being made that you didn't see. Again, I'm like 80, 85% certain that deep in the trenches of His Tank, the website, I found images of this. I'll have to try to dig around if my brain is ever not completely fried out from working. But again, it's like that borrowing concepts from reality and turning them into amazing sight. Like the designs are so good. Even some of the more like truly insane vehicle concepts are still sharp looking though.
The Pogo looks awesome if it would stay together. The Buzz Boar looks awesome.
Oh, the Buzz Boar is like perfect 80s sci-fi.
Right. The Imp looks awesome.
I think the Raider tank is like a...
Yeah.
It's a hot vehicle. I wish it would have made it to the modern world. I mean, I know it was never going to, but so many features packed into that. You guys are deep in Zelda. I am going to avoid purchasing anything like that until after Joe Fest. I just can't do anything. I mean, I don't have the time right now anyways, but like I can't. Like I'm the most penny-pinching I've ever been prepping for a trip. I mean, I don't even want to go into stores and look for the new stuff that's coming that I like, you know, like the Hammond stuff that I collect through Jurassic Park. Like, I'm like trying my very best to have the blinders on.
I'm not going anywhere either.
So yeah, let's chat a little bit about the Zelda game. So it's part two to Breath of the Wild, right?
Yes. Do you have that game?
I have Breath of the Wild.
Have you actually played it?
I played it a ton during quarantine. I don't know how far I got in. I have not played it in a couple of years, but I loved the game while I was playing it.
Well, Greg hates it.
I didn't know we were going to go down this road, but...
I mean, why not take shots, right? He's not here to defend himself. Screw him. Yeah, the mechanic is so very much the same. Like, if you can play Breath of the Wild, you can pick this up and play it. The special abilities are slightly different. There are a few things that I can nitpick and say I don't like, but broad strokes, I'm enjoying myself quite a bit in this new world with this new story, and I need to be careful so I don't forget to do things like my job, go to bed on time.
That was kind of my problem, is when I was playing it, it was in that weird pocket of time where I had a few weeks off, and I would like fire it up, and the next thing I know, it was like 4 a.m, and I was like, oh my god. That game destroyed my sleep schedule.
One more Korok seed, and I'll go to bed.
It was truly perfect for a guy like me, because it was open world. I'm not very good at video games, so I could take my time. Probably be infuriating to anybody who's decent at video games to watch me play, because like I would redo a lot of those weird, forgot what they were called, but you'd transfer indoors and you'd have like puzzle boxes and you would win something at the end. Some of those would take me an insane amount of tries. I grew up playing Sega, and Sonic is a game I'm actually good at. It's probably Sonic and Streets of Rage and Golden Axe would probably be the only games where I could confidently be like, yeah, I'm here to play.
You are weirdly anachronistic and technophobic for your age.
It's crazy.
Genuinely, in the entire time I've known you, it has boggled me daily. I love it. It's funny. It's great. This is also why action figures is the perfect toy for you.
That's true. I fought getting a smartphone. I think my first smartphone was like an iPhone 4S. Like I was trying hard to hold off.
You and every grandfather.
Yeah, I know.
You and every grandparent. Oh, I still got my flip phone. I bet you still have a corded phone in your house, don't you? Do you still have a landline? I'm just asking for friends.
What's funny you bring that up.
Rotary?
No, but I had this like funny thing. where I was like, I'm going to get rid of my cell phone and just get a landline. Friends are like, you're out of your mind. Like, just stop. And I was like, all right, all right. And then I got an iPhone 4S. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Like, you know, I'm not judging too hard. I still had Betamax well into the 2000s.
Yeah, but that stuff's cool.
Even into the 2010s. But I also had current technology as well. You know, my Nintendo and Super Nintendo are still hooked up next to the Switch.
Well, hey, the Switch is about to become antique. It's, what, 10 years old?
Something like that. I have the G.I. Joe video game on the Switch and on the PS4. I don't know if they ever put it out on PS5. I think it was too early for that.
I mean, Nintendo, now that we're a video game podcast, Nintendo, you know, I feel like they'll build a system to last like a significant amount of time, and they crank out like a ton of good games, and they get the rights to a lot of good games. Like, you can buy Grand Theft Auto for the Switch. I guess I kind of would rather have that type of setup. I don't have to worry that like every 4 years I need to spend another $1,000 on the system or whatever. Whatever a PS5 costs, I don't know. So if I'm way off, I'm sorry, but I don't.
$400 or $500, yeah.
I try to avoid that stuff like it's my job.
I also mentioned we've been painting a lot of Warhammer. At the moment, I'm not really working on big Warhammer 40K. I'm working more on Kill Team, which are small squad-based games. It is fun because as I'm building these paint skills that have atrophied over 20-some-odd years, I'm also talking to a lot of G.I. Joe customizers who love to paint their figures, not just LBC it. And, you know, with Renegade Games, there's a lot of G.I. Joe miniatures out there. It's easy because I'm broke. If I had the money, it would be difficult not to jump into the resin printing, at least to the point where I could download and print. You know, there was a few Kickstarters a couple years ago. There's a lot of G.I. Joe minis out there that would be fun to paint. That is how I'm spending my time in the house, so I don't have to spend money out in the world as we wait for Joe Fest. What is this whole episode is, let's avoid G.I. Joe because Joe Fest is coming?
Hey, sort of.
Something that I'm really interested in, other than the O-ring panels at Joe Fest, is that the fan club box, the first fan club box, shipped already. We received one for me, one for Alexander. The magazine was great. I have been honored to join many of the fan club videos that we should be seeing sometime later in the year. And I assume there might be some fan club stuff going on. I don't know. I mean, are you aware of like a panel gathering, anything that he's doing?
I mean, I know he'll be there.
We got member cards and dog tags and challenge coins, as well as patches and the magazine or newsletter itself.
I'm assuming he's got something up his sleeve. I would have to assume he's got something planned, a panel at the very least, but that's just assumption.
I bring it up because even if he doesn't, he's got a booth, he's there, you know, approach him, let him know how much you like this stuff. Jump in if he's still taking orders, or jump in for the next wave. It's brand new. It's coming off the ground. It is not entirely a one-man show, but it is mostly a one-man show. And therefore, it's a little slow, but the original Joe Club was pretty slow in the beginning, too. All things are a little slow in the beginning. It's going to pick up steam. It's going to be fun. And it's just another way to connect with all of us that's not Facebook.
Yeah, and it's grassroots operation started by a lifetime G.I. Joe fan. I can't sing enough high praises about Cav and his, like, I mean, the stuff he's given out into the community, you know, in the forms of his books have been monumental in sorting anything from the middle years through to the end of the modern construction.
Yes.
It is amazing.
Those books are fantastic.
It's truly amazing to have that resource. It's saved me 1,000 times. Like, I've helped a lot of people identify parts, especially anybody who collects modern knows that you get, not so much in the club figures, but in the standard release, they were just loaded with gear. And it's very hard to keep track. And having it perfectly, meticulously laid out, every figure and every accessory they were carded with is an incredibly handy tool.
Yes. I would love to see him, and I don't know if anybody's looking for it, so I don't know if it's on his radar at all, but I would love to see him take all those books he did and make one nice large volume, especially as we see the success of things like Total Action Force and After Action Report and G.I. Joe in España, Model Men. You know, Carson's got a big book coming that everybody seems to be really excited for. You know, I am, but I'm a book guy, so I assume others are excited, but I always know that I am. I would love to see him do something like that. Also, you and I both received our Total Action Force Volume 2 soft cover.
Mine has not showed up yet.
Interesting.
I know it's shipped. It has not landed yet.
Okay. Well, mine arrived a day or two ago. Brian is attached to another very exciting book that's coming out soon with Bob Breakin, and hopefully we can talk to Brian about it at some point. I don't know what Patty's working on or if he's helping with that book at all. I guess we'll find out if we get a chance to talk to Brian or when the Kickstarter shows up. But we know there's another book coming in the Action Force realm. So I'm just saying, like, I would love to see Cav do a consolidated guide for all that stuff. Again, I don't know how hungry the community is for it, but I am.
An omnibus or omnibook or whatever they're called, that would be incredible.
A thick bitch is, I think, what they're called.
Yes. It would have to be something I'm just absolutely not interested in for me not to buy whatever project Brian and Patty are tied to.
Sure.
The quality of what they do is top tier. And we were both fans of them before we got to meet them. So after we met them, they're both incredibly kind and generous with their time. Like, I'm sold for life.
They're going to have to kick a puppy. Yeah. Like, it's going to be something egregious. Otherwise, it'll never happen because of copyrights. But I still want a hard physical copy of Brian's Star Wars photography book. Holy crap.
That would be so good.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.